But God's design for our life is His. All right, it's something that He has for us, and He's an architect, He's a builder, and He's building our life. All right, and so we've seen that as a follower of Jesus, a disciple, what we saw last week, one of our primary things is that we don't just learn from Jesus, but we act like Him. All right, the rabbi-disciple relationship was not one merely of education. It was one to duplicate. All right, and so Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do them. All right, and it's to be like Him in our thoughts, in our beliefs, and in our lifestyle. All right, and this world needs more Jesuses on the earth. I know that's bad English. All right, but we are, what people call this religion called Christianity, at first it was a mockery. They called the early church little Christs, and that was the word Christian. And they meant it as an insult, but I think it's exactly what Jesus was getting across, is that you and I, we are, as we were singing, we are the light of this world as he shines through us. All right, so we become a follower of Jesus. All right. And so we saw that Jesus called His disciples, and that calling is later duplicated because He gave them a commission. He said, as you've been a disciple, now go make disciples, teaching them, that is these new disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. All right. So, as a disciple, it's not just to have good doctrine, although good doctrine is better than bad doctrine, all right? But it is to live out this Christian life as a follower of Jesus. Now, I want us to look at a question today, and that is, where is He leading us? Where is He taking us? And some of you are thinking, oh, I hope it's Sydney, Australia, or Johannesburg, or Cape Town. Well, sure, there are physical things that He may lead us. And He may have you move from one end of Lusaka to another or another town. And so He's certainly allowed to do that. But there's something way, way bigger than He wants to do in His leading. And it's not just in geography, but it's leading us to a destination for our life. All right, and I want us to see that today. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. All right, where is this journey with Jesus? We are in this followership, okay? Where is He leading us to? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul was writing to this church that he had started. He was an apostle, and so typically he would start a church, he'd be there for a few years, and then there would be a pastor there, then would stay with that church on a longer term basis. All right, Colossians 1:28. Speaking of Jesus, it says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So can you see this is Paul's work. This is Paul's goal. It wasn't just to preach or to teach or to travel. There was something, there was an outcome. That's a fancy word we use now. What's the outcome of the class or the course? His outcome was this, that I might present everyone, not 50%, but everyone who hears me, perfect in Christ Jesus. All right? Now, when we hear the word perfect, that's not a great word for me. Because perfect means, I should have gotten up this morning when the alarm went off, but I hit the snooze twice. Okay, so that's not perfect. I looked at my list of to do for the weekend and I forgot to do this. That's not perfect, right? I yelled at the dog. That's not perfect, right? So sometimes we think perfect is just 100% pure, nothing wrong, no mistakes. And when we hear that word, we get discouraged, don't we? Right? Did you see the new billboard near Arcades? The soccer coach's white shirt. Whew. Is it boom washing power? Boom. The secret of my white shirt. All right? And so we think, ah, a perfect white shirt. You know? Well, is that what Paul is saying? I'm gonna present everyone without any problems, without any issues, never raising their voice. That's not the word that we see in the Greek, all right? And I want to give you that word, and it's in other translations, all right? It's a word called teleios, all right? T-E-L-I-O-S. T-E-L-I-O-S. And it's a word that we see all throughout the New Testament, and it is a really cool word, all right? Because, again, this is Paul's goal for the people that he's pouring into. All right, this would be the goal that God has for our life, that we would be perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, perfect, what does that mean? All right, it literally means this: complete in growth, full of age, an adult. Complete in growth, full of age, an adult. What does it mean? It means that you've gone through a growth process, that now you are in the state that you should be when you started that growth process. Right? How many of you have raised babies? You've had babies. They've had babies in your home, right? Aren't babies awesome? Oh, I love babies. I love babies. I could have a house of 20 of them, as long as I don't have to change their nappies. All right? But babies are awesome. But here's the thing. When a baby comes into this earth, it wasn't designed to stay a baby. It was designed to get bigger. It was designed to get bigger. Those of you that have been at Miracle Life, some of you have been here longer than I have been. And so when our family moved here 8 years ago, my kids were little, you know. And again, you guys come up to me every now and then, you go, oh, your kids are so big. Oh, they're growing. And I know it's kind of nice to say that, but here's the thing. They're supposed to. They're supposed to. You know, oh, Jessica's so tall. Well, I'm 6'5", and my wife is 6 foot. If she was 4'6", we would be at the doctor's saying, what's wrong with our daughter? What's wrong? She's not growing. And I remember when we would take the kids the first few years to a pediatrician, the doctor, you know, year one, year two, year three, they would have these little charts of growth. You know, they're supposed to be so many kgs. They're supposed to be so many centimeters tall. And, you know, my kids were usually above the curve, okay, typically, all right? And so you want to know, how are they tracking? Are they growing like they're supposed to grow? And the doctors measure all kind of things, the length of the bones and this and that, and they'll tell you things are good. They're growing. So you don't go to the doctor and you bring your five-year-old and you say, what's wrong with my five-year-old? They don't know how to drive a car. You know, they're terrible at calculus. They don't know three languages. They're not earning any money. What's wrong with my five-year-old? Well, the doctor would tell you, there's nothing wrong with your five-year-old. Nothing wrong. They just need to grow. This word teleios is Paul's goal for every Christian, is that we would grow till we become of full age, maturity. That's God's goal for your life. So in following Jesus, where is he taking you? He's taking you into a place called teleios, completeness. Now, some of you may notice we have trees out in the front of our church, all right? And did you notice we've got these benches that are round, hey? And there's a tree in the middle of them. And you think, what are they doing? What is that tree doing in the middle of that bench? Why did they put that there? Well, the reason is because those trees, the DNA inside of those trees are going to become two-story high one day. All right? Maybe when you and I have a bit of gray hair, but they're going to become two stories high. And so the idea is that when they grow, then we can sit under those benches, under the shade, hallelujah, and have a nice time. Okay, but we planned now for those trees to grow, so we went ahead and made the benches, because it's kind of hard to put a round bench around a tree that's already there. All right, so it will grow. It has the DNA to do it if it gets the right nutrients, if it gets the right sun, if the soil is good. Those are going to be tall, tall trees that will provide beautiful shade for us to hang out and enjoy each other's company in. All right, why? They were designed to grow. They came small, and yet in them is the plan to get big. Now, how many of you know right now those trees are not providing us any shade? Okay, so their usefulness is small. All right, and a baby is cute, and a baby is wonderful, but they're useless. They don't add anything to society. Am I right? Buildings are not built by babies. Jet airplanes are not flown by babies. Right? And the other thing about a baby is it can't reproduce itself yet until it reaches full age, until it becomes an adult. So God has a plan for our life to grow us up. Now, we say, well, wait, Pastor, where? I'm a lot of us, if I look around the crowd, a lot of us are grown already. You know, I'm done growing this way. All right. My wife tells me I'm growing a little bit this way, but I'm done growing this way. So where is it that we are to grow? Well, the Bible tells us that as human beings, we are a three-part person. We are spirit, soul, and body. All right. Thessalonians tells us that spirit, soul, and body. All right. So Paul is saying, I want to present everything that I do, all of my labor, the grace of God, to present people grown up. Now, is he talking about physical growth? No. That happens. If we eat right, sleep right, we'll grow physically. All right. Now, we could say from a spirit point of view, when we were born again, the Bible, Hebrews tells us that we have the spirits of just men or righteous men made perfect. So our spirit man, our spirit woman, the me that you can't see, all right, when we were born again, it was made righteous. It was made holy. It was adopted into the family of God. All right. You don't have, if you're born again, you don't have a spirit problem. You don't have a spirit problem. All right. Our bodies need to be managed. They need to be we don't need to give into its appetites. But the place where we are to grow into maturity is in the area of our soul, spirit, soul, and body. All right. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. All right. And so that part of you, when you were born again, it did not get redeemed. What do I mean by that? When you were born again, your spirit became, the Bible says, alive to God. You know him. He knows you. He talks to you. But did you discover that when you were born again, you didn't get an automatic download of the Bible into your mind? You still thought the same things you thought. All right? God didn't just wipe off the hard drive of your emotions and the things that you've gone through. And maybe there's things in our soul that are maybe injured or bumped or bruised or broken because of stuff from the past. All right. And so there is a growing up process that it comes from our spirit is where God lives. It's where the Holy Spirit is. And so our new spirit and the Holy Spirit wants to influence our soul, because our soul, when we're born again, is still a baby. It's a baby. It is not fully grown in the things of God. In the things of God. All right. And remember, we'll see this later, but Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to think differently now. Before you were born again, you thought something about money, about the opposite sex, about how to handle your business. You had a certain way of thinking. You get born again, you're alive to God, but your mind is still saying, hey, let's do it this way. No, mind. We've got to learn a new way of life. Okay? And this is this process of growing up, of maturity. And so those of you who have kids in your home, you know that that is a long process. How many, my kids are going to be in second service. How many of you know it's a difficult process? Lord Jesus. Those of you, some of you, you don't have teenagers yet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's challenging, all right? But if you're a parent anointed by God, He gives you the grace and the help to help guide and to help grow so that they become what? An adult. You don't want your 35-year-old adult child asking you for money. You don't want your 35-year-old adult child coming over to your house. Hey, Mom, what's for dinner? Well, let's go over to your house for dinner. Oh, I don't have a house. I live with you. No, that's not being an adult. You haven't embraced adult responsibilities yet. All right. So in this soul part of us, the inward man, God wants it to grow, to come to a place of maturity. All right. The Message Bible puts it this way. In Colossians 1, we teach in a spirit of profound common sense. Ooh, I like that. Profound common sense. You need to go to a church where they teach profound common sense. Amen? So that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ. Like Jesus. No more, no less. All right, so when we're born again, that is the beginning of God's plan. He who started a work in you will, He'll complete it. All right? That's the same word, teleos. All right? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, God, in the first part of Ephesians 4, He said that grace was given to the body of Christ. Gifts were given. Some of those gifts were called the fivefold, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. They were given to equip the believers, and that word also means to heal, to mend them, all right, to prepare them for works of service, all right? And then in verse 13 it says, till we all come. So there's a goal of this fivefold ministry, helping the believers to get equipped, the equipped believers serving and loving. All right. What happens? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Now, some of you single ladies, you were claiming that scripture. Thank you, Lord, for my perfect man. Oh, Jesus, for my perfect man. All right. Well, it's a perfect person. All right. Now, as long as you are mature, you can believe God for someone at your level of maturity. Amen. But don't expect to marry someone above your level of maturity. Oh, that went over great. You're believing God for Superman. And you are not exactly Wonder Woman yourself. Okay? So, this happens until we come to a perfect man, a teleos man, a grown-up man or a woman, a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children. Now, what was Paul saying? He was speaking to physical adults. This was not a message for Sunday school, for children's church. This wasn't for Gigglefield or Sparkle Academy. I can't remember the names back there, all right? This was to physical adults, but he said, let's not be children, all right? That we should no longer be children. And here's a characteristic, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Whew, I know some people like that. Well, God calls them children, all right? By the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Find your spouse. Tell them, grow up. Say it again, Regina. We may grow up in all things. What's all things? All things is all things. Every area of our life, we grow up. We mature. We come to the full age in that development of what God wants to do in our heart. Up into all things, into Him. So like Jesus, who is the head, Christ. Okay? So birth is one thing. Growing up is another. My wife and I together brought two children into this world. She will tell you she did more of the work than I did. I would agree. All right? I was there holding her hand at the birth, telling her I love her, and not telling her, I am so glad it is you and not me. I don't handle pain very well. Evidently, she does. All right. So, I heard Ed Cole say this. It takes being a male to bring a child into the world. But it takes a man to raise a young man to become a man. Any male can bring a child into the world. Did you see in the UK, was it a 12-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl fathered a child? Something like, I think 12 years old. All right, they made the news. How many of you know it would be better to make the news for something other than that? Okay, well, yippee. But how many know they're going to have an impossible time raising that child to be an adult because they are not adults? All right, so it takes a man to raise a man. All right, and so birth, and thank God for the new birth. Thank God for evangelism. I think we reported at the AGM we had 711 people give their hearts to Jesus or rededicate their lives in the year 2011. We want to do more. Amen. We want to reach more people for Jesus. But giving birth is fairly quick. All right. Somewhat easy. Some of you ladies would debate that. Okay. But in a sense, it happens and it's done. Okay. It's not a long drawn out process. But to give birth to a child is a one day thing. To raise a child, woo, that's forever. That's a long time. 16, 18, 20, whatever it takes. All right. To raise that child into a mature adult. Okay. Now, this growing up, again, this is in our soul. Romans 12, 2, we're transformed. The word is metamorphosis. We're changed into something brand new. Okay. So the Holy Spirit now wants to govern our lives with our recreated spirit, not living out of our messed up soul and our body that has appetites. Our body wants to do what our body wants to do. All right. And so we live out of this new life. So what are some characteristics of immaturity? All right. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Now, the church in Corinth, Paul said somewhere else, he said, you come behind in no spiritual gift. I mean, they were praying for the sick. They were speaking in tongues so much he had to tell them, whoa, hold on a second here. All right. I mean, they were doing some stuff. All right. And they were commended in certain areas. But in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, it says, and brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. This epistle was written to believers. So who was he saying? You're not spiritual believers. You are carnal believers. And then he explains what that means. As to babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. Now, single men, that's not just the nice looking girl at church. A babe in Christ. All right. No. Some of you will get that later. All right. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Right. Little babies don't eat chicken. They can't. Their body cannot handle it. Okay. For even now, you are still not able. So what Paul is saying, he's kind of saying, why am I still giving you a bottle? You should be eating something different now, but you're not. Okay? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And notice what he describes. And are you not behaving like mere men? Just regular people. You're acting like you used to act. You're acting like everybody else acts. All right, so we are to behave in a different way. That is a byproduct of growing up. Now, when my kids were little, and especially girls love to do this, they play and they put on dresses and they act like they're big. Right? They get their friends. Let's have tea. There's no tea. We're not going to give them boiling water. They're 3 years old. Are you kidding me? Oh, let's have tea. And they pretend this. They pretend that. You know, they're 7 years old and they're planning their wedding. And it's really cute. All right. But see, here's the thing. God, if as a believer, if we're not fully grown, sometimes as a church, what we do is we make you act like you're fully grown. It's play acting. It's pretend. Oh, come on, let's all play tea. No. Let's help you to grow and you participate in God's growth process so that when you're an adult, you really act like one. All right? It's not play acting or pretending. You are that. Amen? So our mind, our beliefs, our decisions, if we're carnal people, are still governed by our flesh, our appetites, our unrenewed mind, all right, that is not yet renewed according to what God says from the Bible. All right, James 3:2, it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Guess what that word is, right? Teleos, a mature man, able to bridle the whole body. All right. So if you have a problem with your mouth, God bless you, but you are immature. Good news here. Aren't you glad you came to church to find that out? You are immature. A mature person is able to control their tongue. All right. Now, I've seen believers masquerading as mature people who can't control their tongue, right? And they just say, well, I have the gift of discernment. Well, there is no such thing, right? No. So we allow our tongue to be governed by our spirit and our renewed mind, not by just whatever comes to it. And we don't use it, as James would say, like a fire that would destroy or hurt other people. You see, what we discover in Christianity is there is a lot in Christianity that is counterintuitive. What do I mean by that? It's unnatural. It's weird. What do I mean by that? Bless those who persecute you. Are you kidding me? Do good to those who spitefully use you. Do good, I'll do something to him, but it's going to not be good. See, that is natural, right? Any little kid, you put them at school, they begin to go outside, they play, they're playing football, whatever, they're, you know, they bump. What happened? They bump back. How many big soccer games have you watched? World Cup games? They bump back. Insult my mama, I'll take you down, right? Kick me on the ground, I'll kick you in a red car. Woo-hoo. And they get vilified. Why? Because they're not able to control their tempers. Okay? That is a quality of children. They get into fights. All right? As an adult, what do? We bless. We pray for those who hate us. That is not natural. All right? If you want to honor the Lord with your money, if you want to progress, if you want to see your life go higher financially, give substantial portions of it away. They don't tell you that in, the stuff at the bookshop that tells you how to make money and drive a Lamborghini by the age of 25. No, there's stuff that doesn't make sense. All right? So I'm a young person and I'm going to stay sexually pure till I get married? And then for the rest of my life, sleep with one person till I die? That is counterintuitive. And the world literally thinks we are crazy when we say this kind of stuff. Are you crazy? Because that does not come naturally. That comes by applying the Word of God to your life. Amen? So it's counterintuitive. In a sense, Jesus said, if you want to go up, go down. You want to be great? Be a servant. Huh? No, I thought I could just push my way forward and work all these things out to get myself ahead. No. Go down and you'll go up. All right. So this is a learned lifestyle. Okay. Romans chapter 8 talks about those who live by the flesh. All right. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's death. It is death. And in verse 8 it says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now this is written to believers. This is not sinners in the flesh. These are believers who are still flesh or carnal. All right. Now, I want to submit to you today that most of your problems that you are facing in life today, most of your problems are because of your lack of growing up. My lack of growing up. Most of our problems is a result of a lack of maturity. That is the problem. All right? And so when we grow into the things of God and into the behavior of Jesus, like Jesus, life begins to make sense. It begins to work out. All right? And here's the thing. This is one of the great themes of the New Testament. This growth process. Now, I find it so curious that much of the body of Christ has ignored this. All right. And if we say, okay, let's get a better life. What do we look for? Well, what's the problem of our messed up life? Well, it's the devil, generational curses, spiritual husbands, Satanists, a cursed land, demons in the air, demons in the ground, your relatives, your friends, or your spouse. They're the problems. That's why my life is not working out. And let me get to, I'll break the spiritual. What in the world is a spiritual husband? I hope I'm a spiritual husband to my wife. I don't know. She got people all over the city. I got to break the spiritual husband. No! Grow up! Grow up! Then you can feed yourself. Then life begins to work out. Oh, but that's too hard. That's painful. That takes a long time. Just slap me with some oil. Woo! Glory. All my problems have gone away. No. All you did is got greasy. I'm sure some of you put oil on babies, right? Just to, you know, make their skin nice and woo, grease them up and everything, right? They didn't grow up. They just got oily. And that's what immature Christians are doing all over our city. Getting oil on their head. They went in, got oil on an immature head, and they left with an immature head and a lifestyle. You need more than olive oil. That's not God's method to grow you up. All right? Now, we're going to get to what his method is in coming weeks. Now, what does a grown-up life look like? Now, again, not physically, all right? Because we just look around. Most of us are grown-ups, so just physically. All right, but what does a mature Christian life look like? All right, then there's a number of places we could look. But just write these down. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow, isn't that awesome? What is that? It is the fruit of what? the Spirit working itself through your soul, into your body, and into your lifestyle. Man, how many of you could use some more joy? Well, I just like, if the praise singers would just sing more joyful songs, I'd be joyful. No. It's a fruit of the new you. And it can be developed. All right? Another aspect of this new life is that we live by love. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That's what a Christ follower looks like. They have wholesome, loving relationships where there is grace and truth going both ways, where people are being built up and helped and encouraged. Amen. Someone's making a difference in your life as a believer, and you're making a difference in the life of another believer. Love for one another. That's maturity. John 15, verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Now, here's what I think you bearing much fruit is. It's you becoming the apple tree or the mango tree that God designed you to be. See, we're not all mango. The Bible says we're not all the same part of the body. All right. And you might be a lemon tree. You might be a mango tree. You might be a strawberry bush. But when you come to maturity, what happens? Now you make a difference for someone else. In talking to different people who are involved in farming here in our church, I remember somebody came in, they showed me this thing that they were going to do. And they said, "You got to do this, you got to do that." And 7 years later is when you get the first harvest of crops. 7 years later. All right, now there's other things obviously that are much quicker than that. All right, but everything, all of us, God wants there to be fruit that will bless our world from it. Amen. Now what happens? It is a sign. It is a part of growing up. A little small mango tree, you go buy it at the shop and they say, "Here's a mango tree." And you say, "Where are the mangoes? I don't see any mangoes. This can't be a mango tree." And they say, "No, just plant it and wait a few years. You'll have mangoes." Right? "No, I want mangoes on this little..." No, little baby trees don't have mangoes. Put them in the right conditions. Let them grow. And then there's fruit, and fruit that remains. All right. Now, what happens to our life when we are growing or have grown or we come to a certain place of maturity? I want you to look at a couple of verses. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Now, remember, one of the signs of a Christ follower is that we have learned and now we obey. Right? We've been taught to put something into practice. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do." Everybody say "to do." So it's not just meditating, learning to know. It is to do. Sounds just like Matthew 28. All right. So we learn to do according to all that is written in it. "For then," everybody say "then." "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Now let's say this in the reverse. Don't meditate on the Word of God. Don't allow it to have first place in your life. Don't pattern your thoughts, your belief, and your actions based on the Word of God. Just go ahead and listen to the traditions of men, everything you've always known, whatever feels right. Just go ahead and keep living that way. "For then you will make your way a disaster, and then you will have no success." You see why so many Christians are so frustrated going to prosperity breakthrough conferences. this one's got the secret. Ooh, they have a prayer shawl from the Old Testament. And when I wiggle this, whoo, one, two, three, whoo, yeah, praise the Lord, now it comes flying from heaven. If I just give the TV preacher $419, Philippians 4:19 will come true for my, oh, yes, woo. See, here's the thing. People want the fruit of Joshua 1:8, but they don't want to do Joshua 1:8. Ask anybody on the side of the road, hey, you want a prosperous life? Yes, where do I sign? Tell them what's behind a prosperous life? No. You go get it for me. As a preacher, go zap me with prosperity. For I live with a yoke of prosperity. And if you give me $100, I'll release it into your life. Hogwash. Nonsense. Unbiblical. What does the Bible say? Get the Word of God into your brain. Get it in your heart. Let God work at growing up your soul. Then you will make your... Notice it doesn't even say God will make you prosperous. It says you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Well, Pastor, I'm just mad 2012. You didn't declare it the year of success. I can't declare that. You have to declare that. You have to go to God and let Him grow and empower your life. Amen? James 1:22. Isn't it nice that these seats are so comfortable? Now I can preach for another hour every Sunday. Or you'll fall asleep. One of the two. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man, what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I declare blessing on this congregation. I can't do it. I can't do it because I can't do the work properly. The Word of God for you. I can't. It's physically impossible. Well, Pastor, just declare it. It makes no difference what I declare and what banner we put up here. Huh? I know we have this stepping towards our destiny, but guess what? Who's doing the stepping? You are. We are together stepping. Now you can step or you can just watch us step. And we'll just step right on by. All right? Do you see what God is saying today? Amen? All right? This growth, this causes the Word of God. And I really believe that this is... And we'll look at this in weeks to come. But there's a wonderful example of this in the Word of God. And that is the children of Israel. They were slaves. All right? And much of the Old Testament is what they would call types and shadows. That is that you see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The Old Testament points to the real, that is Jesus, the new covenant that we walk in today. All right. And so the children of Israel were slaves. They were in bondage and they were brought out. How? By the blood of the Lamb applied to their door. Top, the two sides, just like a cross. That we're going to be celebrating this week. All right? And so, they came out through the shedding of blood. God brought them out of a place of bondage and slavery. All right? That's a sign of the new birth. That's a sign of salvation. But how many of you know that when they left Egypt, that wasn't the final destination? There was a place called the Promised Land. A place where you will eat grapes. where you'll have bread without scarcity. God kept talking about how awesome it is. And I think that's what Paul is doing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm not exactly living there right now, but I'd love to go. Thanks for the brochure, God. When's the bus leaving? I'd love to go there. He paints this picture, loving one another. Amen. Loving as disciples, having fruit that abounds in your life and fruit that remains. Wow, that isn't exactly what my little scrawny tree looks like right now, but I'd love to get there, God. And so he tells the children of Israel, he said, I want to take you out of Egypt to take you into the promised land. But what happened on the way to the promised land? A whole generation didn't make it. A whole generation that was involved in idolatry, sexual sin, whining against God, whining against Moses that God had sent to help get them to the promised land, the place that God wanted to take them to. All right? And so you and I, as followers of Christ, we are on a journey. Not a physical journey, the promised land where we get houses that other people built and all this wonderful thing. I guess we do get the one part that out of whose mountains you'll dig copper. That's part of our deal, I think. All right. But it's this place in Christ predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so God gives you a leader to help get you there. Now, the leader, Moses, guess what? He didn't lead through a helicopter. Okay, everybody, let's go this way. Moses was a shepherd. Everywhere the people walked, he walked with them. Guess who that person is in your life? It's called your pastor. Your pastor. He is going to walk with you. He is going to be maturing as you mature. Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. If your pastor isn't following Christ, find a pastor that is. Amen? And if you don't know any, come, I can give you 20 names in Lusaka of wonderful pastors who are following Christ. If you don't think I am, then find one that is. But everybody else, we are going to the promised land. We're going to this place called growing up, maturity. Amen? Leaving the milk behind. Being productive. Then what God does is then we work with him in helping other people get on this process. And so then church looks like this wonderful wheel where we're growing, we're becoming like Jesus, and then somebody else is maybe new in this, and we say, hey, let me help you. Yeah, I remember when that happened. Oh, that was crazy. Man, you know what? God, help me with this. Come, let me help you. Let me help you walk. You don't have to, because babes need external help, right? And so as this church reaches more and more people, there's a building that's sketched right over here. It's a lot bigger than this building. And why is that? Oh, we want to have a big building. No, it's these new believers sharing the love of Jesus, helping them to come. Oh, but Pastor, you can do that. I can't grow everybody up. You've got to help me. You've got to help me. We've got to work together and follow the cloud and follow the fire and get to the promised land that God has for our life. Amen. What I see a lot of Christians do is they want the grapes from the promised land and they want to live in the wilderness. They want to remain immature and have the blessings that are in the promised land. They don't want to control their sexuality. They want to look at anything that walks by and then act on what they've seen. They want to dishonor God with their money and not be a giver. And yet they want God to bless them. Friend, it's time to grow up. Instead of you allowing other people to go to the grocery store for you, you go. Use your own money. Buy it, take it home, cook it, and then bless other people with your mature life in a spiritual sense. Amen? So that's where God wants to take every single believer. And one of the things you saw about Moses in Exodus is, man, even though he was leading, God still had to keep working on his life. All right? So pray for your pastor. Don't throw stones. I need your prayers. Well, I heard Pastor Walker isn't perfect. Well, I heard what you, I realize that's true. Plus, I know about 200 things about me that you don't know about me. Here's the problem, though. If I don't get to the promised land, guess who doesn't go? You don't get to go either. If I die in the wilderness, you die in the wilderness. Let's go together. Let's follow Jesus. Let's become like Jesus. Let's be fruitful. Let's rise up. Let's be the people of God that our DNA was given to us at the new birth. And let's become the people of God that He's created us to be. Amen? Growing up, helping others, being patient with babies, but having, but making sure that we're taking responsibility for us. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is true. And Father, we see a destination. We see that there is a route. We see that there is a way to get there. Oh, Father, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And Lord, it is a great life. It's the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But Father, we need to participate with you. We need to keep growing and going. And Father, thank you for all of us in this room, Father. We are on a journey with you. And Father, wherever we are on that journey, thank you that you're with us. Oh, thank you for the provision, the guidance, the help, and the care. Lord, we believe that you will finish, you will complete, you will teleos the work that you started in us. You'll bring it to maturity. Father, we want what you want. That's what we want, Father. And we want to be involved in that process for other people. Lord, make us a church that looks like that. Make us a church that knows how to do that. Oh, believers, just pray right now. Just pray right now. Pray for your church. Maybe if you're a visitor, pray for the church where you are hooked up to. But right now, let's pray for Miracle Life. Pray for this church. Father, help us. Oh, Father, show us. Give us wisdom. Lord, let us do it the right way and the right and with everyone participating, Father, that we may present every man, every woman mature in Christ. No one left behind. No one straggling on the side. No one forgotten, Father. Oh, Father, help us to do that. Help us to see what that means. Help us to understand how to practically put it into place in the life of our church, into our own personal lives. Monday through Friday, the weekends, Father, how do we do that, Lord? Thank you for your wisdom and your grace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here in this place. There is a journey that God has for your life. And the first step is to follow Jesus. The first step is to allow Him to be the first place in your life. He loves you. He cares for you. He, through His Son, Jesus Christ, made it possible for you to come to Him. And it happens through your faith, trusting Him, saying, Jesus, I believe you. I'm going to follow you. And maybe you've never been a follower of Christ. Well, today is your day. Maybe you have been, but in a sense you turned and went back into the world. It's time to come home. You can come back and follow Him again today. That's His will. That's His call. He loves you. And He wants to be that in your life. If you say, Pastor, you know what? That is me. That's exactly what I'm going through. And I need that. I need Jesus in my life. I want to follow Him. Wherever you are in this auditorium, simply lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I'm tired of running away from God. I want to run too back to Him. You need to be born again. You need to come home to a Father that loves you. Anyone in this auditorium, just lift up your hand. We want to see God be real in your life today. Anyone? Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? God bless you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, yes. God bless you. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Why don't we all stand to our feet before we go? You lifted up your hand, or you said, I wish I would have lifted up my hand. But if that's you, just come and meet me up front. In a sense, you're taking a brand new step to follow Jesus, leaving your old life behind and following Him now. Just come and we'll pray together right now. Can we give, there's one or two, I believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, sir. He loves you so much. He's got a good plan for your life. Now, what He has for you is a free gift, forgiveness, a new life. And if I was going to give this Bible to you for free, yeah, you would reach out and receive it, right? Because I'm giving it to you. All right. Now, God has a brand new life for you, and He's giving it to you. But you need to reach out and receive it. So I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you to reach out and receive. Are you ready to do that? You ready? All right. Why don't you close your eyes and let's just lift up one of our hands towards heaven. Congregation, would you join us? Say this with us. Say, Father, I believe. Just go ahead. Just you can say it right out loud. Say, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus, I follow you now as my Lord, as my Savior. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me. I turn away from my sins and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I am now in your family. You've made me a brand new person. You will never leave me. Love you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.